You're listening to KMHM 104.1 FM. It's time for a message from God's Word titled The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle. Get your Bibles and be ready to dig into the Word of God on The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. You may remember that February the 26th, we spoke about America's financial woes and the weakening of the dollar, the downward spiral of the dollar, and America losing clout in the world. Now we know that America has been, along with Britain, the stabilizing force of the world militarily and economically for many years. We have been the first to aid any nation in most any way possible, even to our own hurt financially and militarily in their disasters. We have been and still are a generous people, not only abroad, but at home as well. We have had open arms for anyone over these 229 years that have wanted to make America their home and window of opportunity. That is the nature of the American people, and I'm sure that is commendable in the sight of God. We have been able to do all those good deeds because we have been blessed with the wherewithal to do them with. But all this, plus the wars we fought and this war on terrorism and our own natural disasters, have taken its toll on the American economy. And then when we add to that our crime, our drug, our alcohol problems in America, our juvenile problems, the killing of our unborn, abortions, divorce, and so on, our huge prisons and what it costs to house one prisoner annually, and on we can go, speaking about the evils in America. But they have all taken their financial toll on us, and they've taken their mental and their physical and their moral and their spiritual toll on us as well. Our lavish lifestyle of buy now and pay later hasn't helped our debt situation at all. And now some economists are predicting a financial collapse of the U.S. economy in the near future. And when, not if that happens, which it will unless we make some drastic changes, which doesn't seem too likely, we'll spend a lot of serious problems, not only for America, but for this entire earth. But you can bank on this. America and England and the English Commonwealth, the people, will get the brunt of this. We have been the recipients of the bounties of heaven, the most blessed people on earth. And that's because that God made the unconditional promises to our forefather, Abraham. As you can read of in Genesis 22, God bound himself to bless Abraham's descendants through Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And God has kept that promise. The U.S. and Britain and the British Commonwealth of Nations are the recipients of the birthright blessings, as you've heard me bring out many a time on this program, that Jacob passed down to Joseph. We have been the most blessed and prosperous nation on earth, not because of our righteousness, but because God promised that to our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and passed it right on down to Joseph. God has also said that he would take away those blessings for our continued disobedience to his laws. He said many curses would come upon us and overtake us for turning our back on God and his law. I want you to notice some of the warnings God gave to our forefathers in the 1400 B.C. Notice in Deuteronomy 28, verse 15 here. Now, from verse 1 down to verse 14, God is telling of the blessings that would come upon us if we would obey. But then from verse 15 on through this chapter, he's telling us of the curses that would come upon us. And I think we all realize that we're living under these evil times now. Notice verse 15, Deuteronomy 28. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Now, we can't deny that we have many curses, many evils in this land today, can we? Notice further over here in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 28. Now, this was spoken just a few days before Israel went over into the promised land in the 1400s B.C. Moses, speaking here, inspired by God, he says, gather to me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their hearing and call heaven and earth to witness against them. For I know that after my death you will become utterly corrupt, Moses knew this. God inspired Moses to write this, and this was a prophecy for their day, immediately in their day, and it also is a prophecy for our end time day now, the latter day, which it goes on to state here. It says, "For I know that after my death you will become utterly corrupt and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you." Now, what way was that? Well, Moses commanded and he taught God's laws, didn't he? That's the way that we have turned away from. They did, our forefathers did, and so have we, my friends. And that's why that we have all of the evils in this land. And he goes on to say here, "And evil will befall you in the latter days." Now, can anyone say that we aren't living in evil times? Can anyone say that we aren't living in the latter times? A prophecy for our day, my friends. And you need to perk up your ears and take heed. You need to listen to this, because you can avoid some of these curses if you will only turn and obey your God. "For the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord." Well, do we see any evils in this land today? Don't we see them multiplying year after year? Of course we do. We can't deny that, can we? "Do evil in the sight of the Lord your God, to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands." Yes, through the work of your hands. Now notice the ultimate result for ignoring God's law and his way. I hate to have to read this to you, my friends, but this is an end-time prophecy for Israel. What's going to happen to our nation, to the United States, Britain, and the British Commonwealth of Peoples for our disobedience to God? Notice in Jeremiah 30, beginning in verse 4. Jeremiah 30 and verse 4. I hope you have your Bibles. If you don't, get your Bibles and read this yourself. This is only one place where God is predicting the evils and the calamity that's coming upon this nation unless we turn and repent. Verse 4, Jeremiah 30. "Now these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah." Now, if you realize, when this was penned, was back in the 500 B.C. Israel had been in captivity. The nation of Israel had been in captivity for 130 years or better when Jeremiah wrote this. And he says, "Now these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah." Yes, two nations. Judah was in the process of being taken captive at that time of this writing, and Israel had been in captivity, as I said, for over 130 years at this time. Verse 5, "For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace." Do we hear peace in our land today? Do we hear peace in the world? Or do we hear fear and trembling? When you sat down to see your watch your nightly news, do you hear good news, or is it mostly all bad news that you hear and that you see? Not too hard to figure out, is it? "Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor, and all faces turned pale?" In other words, troubles that's coming upon us, that's going to get worse, that's going to continue to get worse until we are all turned pale and don't know what to do, don't know where to go, can't wiggle our way out anymore, can no longer put a Band-Aid on our wounds. Verse 7, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it, and it is the time of Jacob's trouble." Jacob, the United States and America, England, Australia, New Zealand, and especially it's speaking to the United States and Britain. And we're entering that time, my friends. You can ignore it, and you can go on and hide your head in the sand if you want to. But this is a prophecy for our day, and you need to perk up your ears and listen and make some changes in your own personal life. God goes on to say here, "But he shall be saved out of it." Yes, saved out of it, but after we go through much trouble. Verse 8, "For it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from your neck." America is going to be in captivity at the return of Jesus Christ, my friends. It's made plain here in this chapter and many other places in God's Word. It's made so plain, and we need to listen to this. It said, "I will burst his bonds, and foreigners shall no more enslave them." Yes, like we're in slavery. "But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up for them." Now, if nothing else in this chapter told you that this is an end-time prophecy, this verse would. Said we would be serving David, our king, whom the Lord will raise up for us. And you know, other places in the Bible says that David is going to be king over all Israel. That's speaking about the time that Christ returned, the millennial rule of Jesus Christ. This is an end-time setting here that we're reading. "Therefore do not fear, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity." Notice that, my friends, that should shake you up, the land of their captivity, an end-time prophecy that is immediately coming upon this nation unless we turn. Jacob shall return, have rest, and be quiet, and no one shall make him afraid. We don't live in that day now, do we? We fear terrorists and we fear other things. We fear crime. We fear at night when we go to bed. We lock our doors and hope no one breaks in and shoots us or whatever. For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you, though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you. Yes, where I have scattered you, an end-time prophecy. Yet I will not make a complete end of you, but I will correct you in justice. Some translations says I will correct you in measure. In other words, not to the point that it will do us completely in, that there would be no one left alive of Israel, but God says in justice or measure. And will not let you go altogether unpunished. Yes, punishment is coming on this land. For thus says the Lord. Notice, now God describes the day that we're living in here now. For thus says the Lord, your affliction is incurable. Your wound is severe. Does that sound like our nation? Your affliction is incurable. Your wound is severe. There is no one to plead your cause, that you may be bound up. You have no healing medicines. We just about run out of Band-Aids. And when we do put a Band-Aid on a wound, it doesn't seem to do much good anymore. As a matter of fact, we may even produce another wound by doing so. That's the day that we're living in, my friends, because we have forgotten and rejected God's law. All your lovers have forgotten you. You know, I've been talking about the fact that America is losing clout around the world. God goes on to say here, they do not seek you. For I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of your iniquities. God tells us why these things are coming up on us, because we won't listen and we won't heed and we won't turn. We hang on to our pagan ways and we reject God's law. And that doesn't set right with God. God has given us this blessing, put us in this good land, because he promised it to our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and passed the birthright blessing right on down to Joseph. Not because we are an obedient or a Christian nation, my friend, but because God has promised it to us. But God says he's going to take it away for our continued disobedience. Let me back up here to verse 14. It says, all your lovers have forgotten you. They do not seek you, for I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of your iniquities, because your sins have increased. Yes, because your sins have increased. Do we see our sins less today than they were 50 years ago? I don't think we do. As a matter of fact, we know we don't we? It says, why do you cry about your affliction? Yes, why do you complain? You're bringing them on yourselves. Your sorrow is incurable because of the multitude of your iniquities. Because your sins have increased, I have done these things to you. Yes, God makes it plain that he's doing these things to us because our sins have increased. My friends, you personally can take God's warning and change your way of life and turn to God in Christ. Repent of breaking and ignoring that way that Moses spoke of, that is God's law. Rend your heart to your Maker and claim God's promise for help and protection in this time of Jacob's trouble, which we are certainly on the threshold of right now. Or you can follow the crowd and reap a bitter harvest. It's up to you which one you do. We invite you to request our free literature, What Must America Do Now to Regain God's Protection and Blessing, as well as Why Does Mankind Suffer? And all you need do to request this literature is call toll-free 1-800-611-8080. And just ask for your free literature, What Must America Do Now to Regain God's Protection and Blessing, and Why Does Mankind Suffer? Just dial 1-800-611-8080.
We hope you enjoyed today's program, The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry. Tune in every Monday through Friday at 3:30 for another program of The Way It Ought to Be. You're welcome to meet with the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. They're located on County Road 300, just one block from the Cat Ranch. That's the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship located on County Road 300, meeting every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And tune in again Monday through Friday at 3:30 for The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry.